Blog Talk Radio.
Good Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so excited today to be here just one more time. This is our first Bible class of the year of this new year. I just thank and praise God on today for all the great things that He's done. Hallelujah. I'm going to call our Bible class to order. I'm going to sing a hymn, read a scripture, and pray by the grace of God. Amen. Shine on me. Shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Shine on me. Glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come on to me and rest. Lie down, my weary one. Lie down, thy head upon my breast. Shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Amen, amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 51 tonight. Just one second here. Psalms 51. Okay, Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to thy loving kindness. according unto the multitudes of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen into iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I have just read you from Psalms 51 from the first down to the 10th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Father, asking if we've offended anyone, if we hurt anyone, if we caused anyone to stumble, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you right now to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there, Lord, that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now. We ask you right now, hallelujah, to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind. Father, we come this evening just thanking and praising you for another opportunity today, Lord, to study your word, Lord, to come together, Lord, corporately and study your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just give you praise and glory on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone, Lord, that's under the sound of my voice on tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless right now and cover each one of them, Lord, each member of the Internal Men and Women of War Global Ministry in the shed blood of Jesus on tonight, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise on tonight. We give you glory tonight, Lord, in the court of our sanity. In the Lord of all quantity, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to open up our understanding. Bless our mind and our thoughts on today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we may understand, Lord, your word on today. Then I ask you to let me decrease 100%, that the Holy Ghost may increase 100%. Let me move over and move out the way. And I'm asking the Holy Ghost on tonight to take over and take control of our Bible class on tonight. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise on tonight, and I give you glory tonight, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, and we thank you tonight. I ask you right now, Lord, to let me lay my will down tonight, Father. In the name of Ikoborobosanana, let us lay it down tonight, that the Holy Ghost may take over tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless everyone in radio land and bless those that's on our radio broadcast. Thank you for the angels. You said, well, two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you all these things in Jesus' name and for your blessing, Father. We thank you and we pray. Amen and thank God. We just thank and praise God on this evening for each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just glad to be here, the first Bible class in 2017. And I'm just asking God to take over and take control tonight and every other night, in the name of Jesus. I want God, I want the Holy Spirit to take over and take control of everything in the name of Jesus. I don't have nothing. I can't do nothing without them. I can do nothing without the Holy Spirit, without God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to, last week, we were studying on prophecy, on the prophetic. Let me see. Yes, we were studying on the prophetic, and we're going to finish it up. I'm not going to teach any more out of this because this is part of my curriculum for the school, and I really don't want to get into that right now. I think we left off here at the Bible in it's like, wait a minute, let me just explain a little more, because last week we we were talking about how to understand prophecy. That's what we were talking and discussing last week. So, and we went through, and it's maybe five principles to understanding prophecy. And we're on the second one, on number two, and we may have discussed it, but I'm going to go over it so we'll know. It says the Bible interprets itself a lot of times when we try, because, you know, God's word is simple. It's a simplicity about it. If we try not to make it so deep and so all this other kind of stuff, if we try our best not, you know, if we just try our best not to make it hard, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. We just, what we do is we just let God clarify anything that we need to know, and we're not supposed to make it hard, but it's simple. All you have to do is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help explain it. It's like over in just 1 second. Just 1 second here. It's like over in the book of Daniel. Here, a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar is given a dream, and we did go over this. And upon awakening, he cannot even remember the dream. He calls upon the astrologers, he calls on the magicians and all of them, the sorcerers and all those seers and all that to interpret the dream. But they couldn't do it. Then God uses the prophet Daniel to tell the king he even told the king what his dream was. You see, and they cannot, the other people can do it. But Daniel even told the king what his dream was. Then he interpreted the dream in verses 36 through 45. This is an example of how, in many passages, the Bible interprets its own prophecy. The New Testament interprets many of the prophecies of the Old Testament because much of the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. For example, compare the Old Testament prophecy and the New Testament fulfillment. And I will say to them, which were not my people, that are my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And really what he's saying here, in the Old Testament, a lot of them wasn't his people, but over in the New Testament, they became his people. because even in Genesis, it was the children of Israel. It was the Israelites. Then all of those died off, and it became the children of Israel. So the Israelites are fulfilled in the New Testament. It's a New Testament fulfillment. So that's why I'm saying the Bible interprets itself. Number three, the rule of double reference. Now, I believe this is where we really stopped off at because we went over that last week. Another key to understanding Bible prophecy, we're trying to understand Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is the rule of double reference. The rule for interpreting Bible prophecy states that a prophecy of immediate fulfillment is made as a means of teaching a deeper truth or foretelling an event to be fulfilled further in the future. Many times in Bible prophecy, it was fulfilled immediately after it was given, but the same prophecy applied not only to the event which was fulfilled immediately, but also to a second fulfillment further in the future. For example, there is a prophecy given over in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 1 through 19, which is addressed to Ethbaal, who was then the king of Tyre. He was a wicked king, and he was a type of Antichrist. You know, he was the type of Antichrist who will arise during the end of the world, the Antichrist will. By saying El Bethel is a type, we mean that in nature, in action, he was like the Antichrist, which will come in the future, in the end time. When God spoke in prophecy through Ezekiel, it was fulfilled in the immediate future in the life of El Baal, but there is a future event as yet unfulfilled, where the same prophecy applies to the evil end time ruler called the Antichrist. So when God gave that prophecy in Ezekiel, it was right there immediately of Ethbaal. But we know the Antichrist is coming. We know he's going to raise his head soon. So we know it hasn't been fulfilled yet, but it is coming. You know, as we study Bible prophecy, remember this rule, the double reference, because it happens in immediately and it happens in the future. So in Bible prophecy, we have to remember that. Okay, prophetic perspective. The prophets describe future events as if they were continuous and in immediate order. For example, Isaiah prophesied over in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint us to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That's in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus read from this portion of Isaiah, in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, he stopped with the phrase, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he looked close. No. Then he closed the book and said that these scriptures were fulfilled in him that day. By this he meant that he was fulfilling this prophecy. He was the one with God's spirit upon him to preach good tidings, to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim the liberty and open the prison. So right then, that Old Testament prophecy was filled right there in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. So when Jesus read it, he closed the book and said, here I am. I'm this prophecy. It's being fulfilled right now. It was prophesied then, but it's been being fulfilled right here in the New Testament. But it is significant that Jesus stopped reading with the phrase to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He did not read that portion regarding the day of vengeance of our God, because the day of vengeance had not yet come. Already a gap over 2,000 years had elapsed since Jesus read this passage, and the day of God's vengeance still has not yet come, because he has vengeance, and it is coming. Oh, it's coming. Prophetic prospective records events as if they were immediately. That's the prophetic prospective. Through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah saw the whole plan of God. See, it's one thing about God. He shows his prophets. He shows them. He says he's not going to do anything until he tells his prophets. You know, he's that kind of God. He called us servants. We are prophets, but he called us his servants. Because whenever we get through, when he give us that word, we got to put it out there just like Ezekiel, just like the prophet Isaiah, just like all of the prophets. It was prophets and minor prophets, and they all had to give a word, whether they wanted to do it or not. Sometimes we don't understand what God does, and we don't understand how he do them, but we know that God know what's best for us, and he knows that every motive of our heart and intention, so he pushes us out there. He give us opportunity to do things just to see what we're going to do, or are we going to be obedient? But we have to be obedient, because through our obedience come blessings, healings, deliverance. We have to be obedient. Isaiah saw the event as you would look at distant ranges of mountains. The valleys in between the mountains are not visible until you climb to the top of the nearest range. Prophetic perspective reveals the whole plan of God from a distance. Sometimes events seem to appear as though they happen immediately in sequence, but as the prophecies are fulfilled, they are often valleys, time between them, as illustrated by the passages from Isaiah. Like this morning I was in prayer, and God showed me some women. It was about, I guess, about 10, and they had dresses on, and they had books in their hands, and they was just standing around. Some of them had their hair down, hair up, and I could see their big pretty eyes looking. I said, well, who are they? And then he showed me a wall full of clocks. Time. I said, Lord. And I seen one time, it was like 10 minutes to 2. I saw that real good. But, you know, I didn't know what that meant that time, 10 minutes to 2, but I know God is saying it's time. It's time for me to start the school and teaching and stuff. I know that's exactly because I could see the women with their books and things. They were just standing, waiting. And so it's just time. And then he showed me just a wall full of clocks. Now, God will make it clear to you. He'll make it plain. And I wasn't asleep. I was praying. And I closed my eyes in meditation, and that's what he showed me. God is going to fulfill that prophecy. Amen. The conditional nature of prophecy. See, prophecy, we prophesy in part. We don't always give us the whole plan, the whole thing to give to somebody. But we prophesy in part. And I thank and praise God for that. Because a lot of times we're not ready for what God's got to tell us and do. Much Bible prophecy is conditional in nature. This means that God says he will do certain things based on the response of man. If man does not listen to God's message, certain things will happen. If man hears God's message and responds properly to it, then something else will happen. God said, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If the nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I will benefit them. That's over in Jeremiah 18:7-10. See, in much of Bible prophecy, the fulfillment is often conditional upon man's response. That's just like reciprocity. For example, of this principle, read the book of Jonah. The prophet Jonah revealed that God would destroy Nineveh in 3 days if they did not repent. But the destruction never came. The reason was that Nineveh responded properly to the message of God and repented of their sin. So a lot of times, when we want God to do something for us, or we want him to move quickly, respond, he says, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. That's the rule of reciprocity. You have to do that for God. So he'll in turn do it for you. But if you study sin and God don't give just because he said you can repent, don't mean that he's giving you a license to sin. You have to turn from your sins, turn from your ways. You have to. Because if you don't, then sin leads to death. Sin leads to death. And see, one thing about prophets, we're going to get it if we don't do right. A lot of times, he won't wait. He won't just wait till we die and go to hell. He'll get us right here. There's so many prophets, pastors, and prophets going through leaders, going through things right now. Right now. Some of them falling dead in the pulpit. Some of them suffering from doing things that they know they shouldn't have been doing. No, I mean, we all sin and fall short. I don't have nothing. I got a beam in my own, so I'm not talking about anybody. But believe me, God said we can go and repent. But he said you must also turn and stop doing the evil that you're doing. You got to stop. All these prophets and preachers out here, every time they God give them a word for you, they hold it back till you pay them. It could be a life and death situation. I know a man that did that. The girl needed deliverance, and he wanted $1,500 to give her the word. and he did not give it to her. And she suffered. Oh, she suffered. And he could have did something. But baby, let me tell you something. I'm not God, and I ain't claiming to be God, and I don't know a whole lot. But what I do know is that when you do stuff like that, you don't reap no harvest. You go straight to hell. That's where you go, because God has given you the word for his people, and you refuse to give it to them? Lord, have mercy upon him. That's all I can say, because don't get me wrong. I know God, he encourages people, his people, to take care of the man and woman of God. Believe me. But when you put a price on it, $1,500 for a word that she can go to somebody or go to God herself and get, and then the girl got sick because he didn't give it to her. When I tell you, that's why a lot of them falling dead right now. Some of them got HIV. Some of them doing this, doing that, all kind of stuff. But when God wrath come really down, because, see, we the leaders, and we know better. And so we're going to get beat with a many, many, many stripes. Those that don't know better, they're not going to get away. They're going to get beat with a few stripes, but they're not getting away. So we got to learn for ourselves. And a lot of people act like they don't fear God. I just don't understand. The creator of everything, and they could just do what they think they're big enough to do. Oh, I'm prophet so-and-so, and I'm prophetess so. Let me tell you something. Those titles carry weight, believe me, in God's eyesight. They carry weight when you call yourself that, when you say you who you say you are, and you charging people $10,000 like they hiring an attorney, and you haven't even came. I got to have $10,000, and I got to have a car, and I got to have this before I say I'm coming. No, God don't play that. God don't play that. God said he will provide for us, and he will, just like he did for Elijah. You didn't see him running around there and all that stuff and telling people what he's not going to do unless they give him this and that. These are examples for us. It ain't no going to be an excuse, because we got the example. We got what to live by. We got the roadmap. Because when God will make your enemies take care of you, he'll make your enemies give you food and clothing and raiment. He'll make people that don't even know you walk up and give you money. You don't have to do what you're doing. You going to see Papa so-and-so? He here. I'm going to see. I ain't going to see none of them. Because when you get in there and God give them a word for you, they make a line, $100, $200 line, $150 line, $100 line, and the ones that go down past $50, they don't get no word. You think God pleased with that? He is not pleased with that. God is not pleased with that. Oh, I could have got it. Oh, you think I couldn't have got him? But I'm not going to be judged for what he do, because I brought it. No. Let him stay right on there, because God is who I depend on. I don't depend on man to take care of me, not even my husband. I depend on God. So, you know, don't get me wrong, like I said, they're supposed to give. They're supposed to give. We are supposed to give. But listen to me, don't put no price on the gospel. Don't put no price on the word that God gives you, because it's not your word. It's God's word that he gives you. If he didn't give it to you, you'll be lying. making up stuff. That's how you have to be very careful. From the prophecy, I'm going to talk about a little bit. Old Testament, prophecy in the Old Testament centers on prophecy to the people of Israel, which was the nation God raised up through which to reveal himself to the world. During the period of time when Israel was divided into two kingdoms, this prophecy is directed to Israel and Judah. An example of prophecy to Israel is in the book of Hosea. An example of prophecy to Judah, the book of Joel. Prophecies to the nations surrounding the people of Israel, for example, prophecies are given regarding Babylon, Egypt, Tyre, and Edom. The prophecy of Obadiah directed to the nations of the nation of Edom. Now, you know that the Edom people, they lived up in the mountains, and they thought they were higher than God. They didn't want to be down low where everybody else was, so they went up in the mountains, way up where nobody hardly could get to them. And they thought they was higher than God. And so God did some stuff over there in Obadiah. They had to come down off that mountain. God brought them down. They thought nobody could bring them down, but God brought them down. See, he prophesied. Obadiah prophesied that they was coming down. God brought them down. God gave them a word to give them, and he gave it to them too. Prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, these are not contained in any one prophetic book. They are scattered throughout the Old Testament. A good example is over in Isaiah 7 and 14. Let me just read that. Sound like I know it by heart. It's just Isaiah 7 and 14. Okay, it says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hit for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the river of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolated valleys and in the holes of the rock and upon all the thorns and upon all the bushes. In the same day shall the Lord have with the razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. So he's actually just telling them, showing them what Jesus is worthy of eating honey. They was talking about Mary giving birth to Jesus, Emmanuel. And they was telling him he's going to eat butter and honey and all that. It's just a Old Testament prophecy that's going to come to pass in the New Testament. for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And he knows to refuse evil and then go to the good. So, and they say before he do that,
what they say?
They said something about before he even know to do that, he's going to do it. So, you know, Jesus is God. So, he's gonna already know to do that. Mm-hmm. So, what was I at? We're in the New Testament prophecies now. No, we're in the Old Testament. Like here. Okay, and then prophecies concerning the entire world, the future events, the end of the world, and the end time as we know it. The book of Daniel is an excellent example of this type of prophecy. The New Testament prophecy, there are many prophecies scattered throughout the New Testament. Most of these deal with future events which are to happen prior to the end of the world. For example, read the prophecies of Matthew chapter 24, and we all know what that is. There is only one book in the prophecy division in the New Testament. However, this is the book of Revelation, which is the subject of this study. John, a disciple of Jesus, was given this revelation from God through the Holy Spirit. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1:1. John was told to write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And we know a lot of that prophecy is in Revelation. The prophetic theme, in addition to the book of prophecy presented in here, there are many other chapters and verses of prophecy scattered throughout God's word. For example, the very first prophecy recorded in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. And it goes, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. This verse prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ, who, through his death for the sins of man, will crush the enemy, Satan. It is not possible to list every prophecy in the Word of God because there are prophecies scattered throughout the entire Bible. Prophecy is not just confined to the books known as books of prophecy. With study and experience, we will be able to identify the prophetic theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. And that's basically our study for today. But you have to be careful, and you have to really be on point when it comes to prophecy. Now, this was just a few pages of my curriculum for the class that will be taught in the school of the prophets, and I'm not going to even call it that anymore, and God has given me something else to call it, but I'm just saying it now, in the school for the prophets, the school of the prophets, that's just one little portion of it. Just one little, that's just the first maybe few pages of it. It's a lot, and I thank and praise God that I have most of it already done. But it's good to learn about who you say you are. You say you're a called prophet, you commission, and you have to know about the Old Testament prophecies. and the New Testament, and you have to know, and not only that, because that's in the Bible, we need to know that, but you know how, have to know how to hear God, you have to know how to meditate, you just, it's so many important things that God will teach you a whole lot of it, but it's good if you would know what's in the Bible, you know, it's good for us to know that, and that's why I said I would teach it this week, but God is giving me something for next week Bible class, and I'm not going to teach anymore what I'm going to be teaching in the classrooms. I'm going to, God is giving me something else to teach. So this was the last part of it. I just thank and praise God. Does anyone have any questions here about it? We have prophets. We're prophets, and I know if you're a prophet, you know, you want to know things, and nobody's perfect, and nobody has arrived, because I'm telling you, it's so much in the prophetic that things are always coming to pass. I mean, new things. God is always showing us something new, or where, how far he can take us and what he can do. You know, it's just like that. It's just like that. So if you all have any questions, I'm not going to hold on. We can just get ready to pray. We can pray and get off. Does anyone have any prayer requests? Well, amen. I thank and praise God for that. God is good. But like I said last night, God is going to do something with the ministry, and I'm thanking him for him right now, for it right now. So we're looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to it. Amen. So I'm not going to hold you. I'm going to pray and close out with. We're going to just be back Sunday here. We want to see everybody Sunday at 3 o'clock Central and 4 o'clock Eastern time. Amen. I thank and praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening up our understanding today. We thank you, Lord, for clarity. We thank you for just knowing that you're going to teach us even the more. You're going to show us even the more. I thank you so much, Father. I just give you glory and praise today. You for the ones that want to know, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the ones, the new ones that you're sending, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for allowing me to see that it's time, and I give you glory and I give you praise for it tonight. I thank you, and I ask you to cover everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Cover their families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you on tonight, Lord, to do a special thing, Father, in the name of Jesus, for each and every one that's up under the sound of my voice, those that's in radio land on today, Father. I ask you to keep them all covered tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you and pray, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. So I'm not going to hold you. All can just be dismissed. I will see you back on Sunday. Like I said, God bless you. You all have a good night. Amen. Thank God.